I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of The Memo. It's a new week.
It's a new month.
New episode, new month. Yep, it's November.
Rabbit.
What?
You're supposed to say that at the beginning of the month for good luck.
Never heard that before in my life. You just made that up just now.
Surely not. Rabbit.
You did.
I'm Googling.
That's W. Derek Russell Googling something he made up.
Rabbit is one variant of a common British superstition. I am half British, you know, which states, I'm really not, that states that a person should say or repeat the word rabbit or rabbits or white rabbits or some combination of these elements out loud upon the waking of the first day of the month, because doing so will ensure good luck for the duration of, I don't know, there's ellipses.
Well, that was yesterday, so.
Today's the second.
But you could say it's the first day of the month because it's the first work day of the month.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe saying it on the second is like really bad luck. Maybe I just screwed up really badly.
She's cursed herself.
Well, Google it.
That's
what's the opposite of rabbit?
I don't know.
Donkey.
That's Derek Russell, by the way, arts and entertainment reporter for the Journal. I'm Brad Locke, the online editor.
With no names. We promise no names.
What? Protect the guilty.
Yeah.
No.
Which you are. I'm glad the beard's coming back.
It's coming. I'm about 9 days into growing it back. It's getting a little itchy on the neck.
That's like head and shoulders. That's how you know it's working.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming in real nice.
Beard's coming back nicely. Yeah.
You okay, Chris?
Chris will take a picture to post on Instagram later. You can check out the progress of my beard.
Yeah.
And stuff. So it's staying. Get all those Instagram likes
for Brad's beard.
All three,
hashtag
all three
Brad's
of them.
Beard.
I like it. Hashtag Brad's beard. Kind of sounds, makes me sound like a pirate.
If it was your hair, we'd say hashtag locks.
Proud of yourself for that one, aren't you?
I know. I quit. No hair. No hair remarks. I quit. He said E. I mean, no name remarks.
No hair?
No. That's me. What? I'm the one with no hair. He said your last name and added an E on the end of it. I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, I know. I kind of miss it now.
Oh, well, no. You can't have it both ways. Beggars can't be choosers. We could put it to a vote.
Because it's an election-themed show. Election day is tomorrow.
I'm so sorry for that segue.
It is an election day. No, it's pretty good.
It was awful.
It was.
Slap me. Ow.
I had to make sure the mic picked it up.
Thank you. It stings.
Just dip it in some
cold
water.
It's time for... No, just fast. You drink a little first, and then you do it. It is Monday, but we're talking about Tuesday in this instance because Election Day is upon us tomorrow.
Lots of
hot button issues that we've been discussing on the memo for several weeks, including the one that comes to my mind the most is Initiative 42.
Initiative 42, will it pass? Who knows?
That is a big one.
We've got the government. I mean, we have some big statewide races too, most of which we know who's going to win. I think maybe the attorney general race is a little up in the air.
You don't know what's going to happen.
You think Robert Gray going to pull off the upset?
It would be interesting to see that go down that way.
It would be quite interesting because the guy apparently hates public speaking.
It's kind of like Rocky. It's the first Rocky. It's Apollo Creed versus Rocky, and Apollo Creed's just sitting back thinking, "I got this. This is nobody. I got this perfectly."
Yeah.
Fine. I'm not even going to. He didn't even train in the movie the whole time. Apollo never trained because he was like, I got this in the bag. There's no reason to worry about it. And then here comes Rocky up out of nowhere.
So in 20 years, Robert Gray is going to mentor Phil Bryant's son.
Exactly.
Wow.
Train him how to become governor.
That would be. Yeah.
No, I that's just the first thing that popped in my head. We could go many other movie realms with it.
It's not a bad way to go. I'm not sure if Creed is going to be any good, by the way. What do you think?
Well, you hush your mouth.
I just don't know. I can't tell because the previews look like it could just go either way.
You're outnumbered here, Brad.
We are done speaking.
Well, listen, I haven't even seen all the Rockies. In fact, I'm not even sure I've seen the first Rocky all the way through.
Leave the room.
Edit.
Leave the room.
I'm sorry. Listen. I grew up in the 80s and did not get to see movies when I was a kid because like we didn't have cable and we didn't have money to go to the movies. So like basically there's a huge gap that I'm still trying to fill in the holes from movies.
Well, I suggest you seeing Rocky 1 through 6 at any given time.
I heard really not all of them are that good.
Just five. And it's not even that bad. It's just the weakest.
And didn't 6 come out kind of recently?
2006.
Okay, so less than 10 years ago, yes. Sylvester Stallone was still fighting at age 60-something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, that's really not unusual. Boxers have trouble letting go. So.
That's the whole point of the movie.
I think Sylvester Stallone has trouble letting go of this franchise, but that's another story.
Oh, that's sad. You're just bringing us down
As sad as George Lucas not being able to let go of Star Wars.
Stop talking. You're making me so angry. you need to at least see the first one.
I do. And again, I've seen it. In bits and pieces, but I just haven't sat down and watched it.
Spoiler alert, he loses, but, you know, it's worth...
Yeah.
But it doesn't end his career.
Yeah.
I, like, know all the, you know all the lines and everything because you hear people quote them all the time. I haven't sat down and watched it for whatever reason. Oh, I don't doubt you at all. But, I mean, we could do a whole show about movies
Netflix?
I haven't seen.
Do
I do.
Netflix?
Is it on Netflix?
All five are on Netflix. Okay. Six is not on Netflix.
Well, there you go. I'll watch them on Netflix.
There you go. Just when you're up with the baby at one point.
Okay.
Just throw them on. Okay. We were talking about the governor's race.
How'd we get to, yeah. Governor's race.
So much for my Apollo Creed reference on the show. It fell flat.
Yeah, well, it's okay. Lieutenant Governor, I mentioned Attorney General Jim Hood getting some push there from Mike Hurst. Yeah, it's been a pretty chippy campaign between those two guys.
And then as far as statewide and legislative go, we've also got a lot that are hitting close to home.
Yeah, Charles Pinson against Shane Aguirre. Mm-hmm. That's one to keep an eye on. And, of course, then you got some county races, a few supervisor races, constables and whatnot. So, yeah, you got pretty much all levels of government being contested.
It's going to be a big ballot tomorrow.
Big old ballot.
Big ballot.
Bring a snack when you go vote.
You will be there for a while.
Yeah, bring one of those.
Rocky on Netflix.
My wife actually bought these, you know, these huge cups with the little thing on top where you put your snack in so you can drink while eating the snack out of the cup.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but it sounds amazing.
It's one of those late night infomercial products, and my wife has bought several of them now.
It's a cup, but it has
like a huge cup, and you put the straw in. It's got a lid on it, but the lid has a little
compartment
to put your snacks in so you can have everything right there in one hand. So you just pop open the
Where I embarrass myself. How big is the compartment? Because if it's not that big. No, this isn't going to work for me then. I'm going to need a much larger area for snacks.
Right.
Than,
yeah, me too. My kids seem to like them.
Kind of like the sidecar of a motorcycle size was the area I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Well, I'm imagining if you still have the straw, it's got to be like, what, that deep? Like less than an inch deep?
No, I mean, it's a huge cup.
The cup, I'm talking about the compartment.
Oh, yeah. The compartment's probably not even an inch deep.
What would I put in there?
I don't know, M&M's or?
No.
Chex Mix?
I reject it. I don't eat Chex Mix.
Raisins?
Raisins? Really?
Bacon?
Peanuts?
Bacon? Can I put bacon in there?
You'd have to break it up, but yeah, you could fit bacon in there.
And so I'd have bacon bits.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't think I like this idea.
I don't know. I'll have to show you a picture. I thought everybody knew what I was talking about.
No. Probably because it sounds of no use to me.
What
do you call them?
The commercials probably come on the channels that my wife watches all the time that I'm forced to watch when she's watching Property Brothers or House Hunters.
I like Property Brothers.
Or some show like that.
Oh, look at that.
I don't even know what it's called.
$19.95 plus shipping and handling.
A cup with a snack holder.
But wait, that's not all.
If you order now, we get you two. You get them at what is that?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
No. Okay, that's a little deeper than I expected it to be. But the ratio's off. Then I'm not getting enough drink on this.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if that's the exact brand. I mean, I don't know if there's more than one brand of it, but yeah.
We should really talk about elections.
We should.
Because now I'm just hungry, thirsty, and this isn't going to satisfy me.
We've got snacks out here in the newsroom.
Yeah, I had one of those. I shouldn't have any more of those.
That's okay.
So my arteries clogging.
I shouldn't either, but I probably will.
It's fine. It's fine. Who's up first, Brad?
I don't know. Who is up first?
Third base.
I thought he was on second. I don't know. Third base. What's sad is I can sit here and do that whole thing for you.
Yeah.
I think we're talking to Bobby out of
Jackson,
Harrison,
yeah,
live via satellite.
That's right. Our Capitol Bureau, tough word to say, Capitol Bureau reporter. We'll have William Moore and Michaela Morrison here as well. And so first up it is Bobby Harrison. Bobby, welcome back, man. How's it going?
All right, Brad. How you doing?
I'm all right. I guess you're getting geared up for tomorrow. We got a lot of offices to be decided. A lot of them we kind of know the outcome, what it's going to be, like a governor, lieutenant governor. As far as statewide races, Bobby, would you say maybe attorney general is the only one that might be a little bit up in the air with Mike Hurst making a pretty good run at Jim Hood?
That's right, Brad. You know, we have 8 statewide offices, and Jim Hood, the attorney general, is the only Democratic statewide office holder. And every 4 years, the Republicans go all out to defeat him. He's been he's won by fairly comfortable margins in his past 3 elections. You know, there's a difference of opinions from Hurst is going to beat him this time to Mike Hurst is his opponent, Republican, former assistant U.S. U.S. attorney. There's some people think Hurst is actually going to win this election. Other people think it's going to be close, but Hood's going to win. But and recent polls have kind of varied. One poll had Hood with a 6-point lead. Other polls have had him in double-digit lead. So I think it's fair to say going into the final hours, Hood is favored to win, and maybe a case of just by how much. But this election is kind of an unknown, Brad, because there's so few contested elections. We just don't really know what turnout's going to be. And you know, of course, you know who votes, what you know. Will affect the outcome. So I guess there's unknowns, and I guess that gives Hurst some hope in the final days of the campaign. I know he's out working hard, as Jim Hood is.
You know, Jim, I believe he's the only Democrat that holds a statewide office right now, isn't he?
That's right. He's the only Democrat, and just for, you know, he's, you know, just as a matter of interest, he's the only North Mississippian who holds a statewide office, and he's the only also the only Northeast Mississippian to hold a statewide office. And he actually lives in Houston and works. He has a branch office on the coast, a branch office in Houston, and he spends a good bit of his time working out of the Houston office.
Yeah, what do you think it is? Being the only Democrat with all these with the Republicans kind of dominating these other offices, is it because maybe party affiliation not as big a deal in the office that he holds as attorney general? Or has he been able just to kind of do the job well enough to please both sides?
Well, he first won the office in 2003. He was kind of the handpicked successor to former attorney general Mike Moore, who was very, very successful, very popular, and stunned a lot of people when he said he was stepping down.
Yeah.
At the time, Jim Hood was a district attorney up in Northeast Mississippi, and the district that includes Oxford and down to Houston and Union County and those counties. And previously, he had worked in the attorney general's office where he became district attorney up in North Mississippi. And he was Mike Moore's hand-picked successor. And in 2003, it wasn't quite as partisan as it is now. And he won that election in 2003, and he has had 2 things going for him. First, he's the incumbent, and even in the partisan era that we are in Mississippi now, in the partisan era, and also the era where Republicans pretty much dominated on a statewide level, being the incumbent still counts for something. And Hood is just, I think most people have the perception he does his job. He's a prosecutor at heart, and that's what he sets out to do. He goes to civic clubs, and he talks about his priorities, which are cyber crimes, whether it's sex crimes or identity theft or cyber bullying. He focuses on those things. He focuses on prosecuting people who are accused of abusing the elderly. And I think he just has a positive impression with most people, and most people look past, even people normally vote Republican, look past party politics, at least they have in the past with him, and they voted for him. And I do think it's important, you know, what I said a while ago, he's from Northeast Mississippi. I think that helps him, gives him a voting block. You know, you have traditional Democratic voters who still make up anywhere from 38 to 42% of the electorate in most elections. And on top of that, he has a strong vote in Northeast Mississippi as a native son, and that puts him in good stead in statewide elections.
And you mentioned, you know, he has a branch office in Houston, which is where he's from, spends a lot of time there, and you had a story in Sunday's Journal about Mike Hurst taking issue with that, saying that he needs to be physically present more often at the Attorney General's office in Jackson. Is that really that big a deal? It does not seem to have been an issue in the past, at least not that I've heard. I don't know if there's been concerns raised about that before.
You know, he opened that office 2 or 3 years ago, and the time he opened it, a lot of people speculated he wasn't going to run again. But he stressed when he opened it, he was still planning to run for re-election. And, you know, and he contends that, you know, the modern, you know, in with modern technology, you know, he's in constant contact with the people in the Jackson office. He's in Jackson. He's still in Jackson a good bit of the time, but I think he likes to say that he sleeps most a lot nights in Houston, where he's close to his family. He said at the time he was moving back to Houston that he wanted to be close to his elderly parents, and he wanted his children to you know, his daughter was going to go to Itawamba Community College, and he wanted to be close to her, and he wanted his son to be able to go to school in Chickasaw County, and they had a farm in Chickasaw County. He said his son liked to be up there hunting and stuff, so he chose to move back up there. And, you know, it's interesting to note his son was a member of the team that competed in Australia, the solo car team. I think he was actually the driver who drove across the finish line. So he not only moved back to Chickasaw County, but his family is fully ingrained in the community in Chickasaw County. And, if you talk to people in his office, it doesn't seem to be an issue. I guess we'll see if voters think it's an issue tomorrow.
So a few other races of note. One in particular kind of piques my interest is the House District 17 seat, which is an open seat because Brian Aldridge having a step not seeking re-election. So you got Shane Aguirre, the Republican, against Charles Pinson, the Democrat, won their primaries in August, and going up against each other to represent District 17. I mean, this is typically a strong Republican district, so I guess that makes Aguirre the favorite.
That's right. I think Charles Pinson, who's been involved in the community in Lee County for a long time, for a very long time in different capacities, I think he's worked hard and he's put up a good fight, but, you know, it would be an upset. He was able to win that race against Aguirre, who's also worked hard and has long roots in the community, deep roots in the community. This is one of the two legislative seats that are solely based in Lee County. So it's an interesting race. And, you know, the Democrats are trying to regain control of the House. If they could win that seat, it would be a real feather in their cap, one they're not actually counting on to win to be able to recapture the majority in the House. But, like I said, Pinson has worked hard and Aguirre has worked hard. And it would be a major upset if Charles Pinson can pull it out.
And, of course, the one thing people are really keeping an eye on, especially with the governor's race and lieutenant governor's race, not really in doubt, Initiative 42. We've covered the heck out of that for good reason. And, again, another story you had over the weekend, Bobby. You know, we could see higher voter turnout because of this issue being on the ballot. And do you think the higher turnout would favor the Initiative 42 measure passing, or what do you think?
You know, I think what I was saying in that story with the governor's race being not as competitive as some people as it has been in the past, and Phil Bryan expected to win re-election easily, and the same for most other statewide offices, that is an election that could drive people to the polls. The people who support Initiative 42 are very fired up, and so yeah. I think, I think if the supporters of Initiative 42 target those people and get them to the polls, you know, that's the only shot, because
I think
a higher turnout if there is a higher turnout, that could help Initiative 42, I guess.
I guess it just kind of comes down to, you know, how well people understand the issue when they're looking at that ballot and if they know what to do, which I know the Initiative 42 folks have done a lot of work to try to clarify. I know we've written plenty about it to try to clarify as far as, you know, what you need to do when you go fill out the ballot, whether you want to vote for it or not. And, you know, there's a couple of steps. So you kind of wonder if the average voter is going to be really educated enough about it.
Yeah, both sides have spent a lot of time and a lot of money trying to, to educate voters. And the supporters of Initiative 42 are simply, saying, when you get down to those two, there's two questions. And when you get down to two questions, mark the first box on each question. The opponents of Initiative 42 are saying mark the second box on each question. So, I mean, that's the simplest way, I guess, to look at it.
Yeah.
But, there's actually some different scenarios that could occur. Some people may actually want to mark the first box and then the second box. There's all sorts of scenarios. And,
yeah.
Brad, there's a good chance that if it's close, there's a good chance, because of the gimmicks in the law that they put in the initiative law, there's a possibility we may, put a paper out Tuesday night saying Initiative 42 got the most votes, but we're not sure it's going to be law or not, because there's other thresholds it must meet to become a law and become part of the state constitution. So there's all sorts of factors with Initiative 42. And of course, the other than the ballot and trying to educate people how to vote, the other issue that has really sort of dominated the last week of the campaign is supporters of Initiative 42 are trying to dispel the notion that one Hinds County judge would have final say on any lawsuit filed if Initiative 42 did become law. They've had letters from law professors at the University of Mississippi. Saying that is not what would happen. One Hinds County judge would not decide this thing. They've had, same has been, law professors at Mississippi College have said the same thing. We've had former Supreme Court justices saying no, one Hinds County judge would not have final say. So that's kind of been sort of educating people on the ballot, and
right,
the debate about the one Hinds County judge has kind of been what's dominated the Initiative 42 talk during the final week or so of the campaign.
Well, it's going to be an interesting day Tuesday. Polls open at 7 a.m., close at 7 p.m., and Bobby Harrison will be a big part of our coverage. Bobby, appreciate you, man.
Thank you, Brad. Have a good day.
Yes, sir.
All right, we continue our election coverage with William Moore joining us now. William, how are you doing?
Doing just fine.
Walk us through what we're looking at when it comes to, I guess, many of the Lee County races, but specifically the sheriff's race as well.
Well, the sheriff's race actually in Lee County, the incumbent is running unopposed. But around the region, there's several contested races. And in Alcorn, Chickasaw, and Tishomingo counties, the incumbent either decided not to run again or was eliminated in the primary. So those three counties, there will be new sheriffs. Here in Lee County, probably one of the hottest races that's drawn the most buzz might be Coroner, where you have longtime coroner Carolyn Green, mm-hmm, is being challenged by Republican Kevin Parker.
How is that one going to turn out, do you think?
I've gotten to the point where I won't guess anymore.
Yeah.
Because you never can tell what's going to happen in a political race. Some of the other interesting ones, we still have the ongoing saga of Justice Court Judge District 4,
mm-hmm,
where Ricky Thompson held it for the past 12 years and tried to run again. Supreme Court says no, they removed him from the bench. He sued. And then Ricky ended up winning the primary.
Right.
So they had to remove him. The second place person, Marcus Crump, is running as the Democratic nominee. And then he's actually facing an independent, Michael Stafford, who a lot of folks will remember is a Iraq War veteran who lost a leg.
Now, is Ricky going to be on the ballot?
No, Ricky has been removed from the ballot. There's just two names left on there now.
I was curious about
Marcus
that.
Marcus Crump and Michael Stafford.
Okay, well, that will be good for everybody to know. Talking back about this coroner race, how long has Carolyn been coroner now?
16 years.
Wow, I had no idea it had been that long.
All right, so I think she's been 12 years as coroner, and then she was deputy coroner for another four years over that,
so that'll be interesting to see. I had to explain to my daughter what a coroner did the other day after she wanted to know what all these mini billboards were that we constantly
keep seeing
everywhere.
We've seen plenty of billboards over the past several weeks.
It's just signs everywhere. So there's been a lot of ads for, of course, there always are come election time, whether it be in the paper or on TV or.
Or now the modern technology of the electronic billboards. If you sit at a stoplight long enough,
you'll see at least three.
We'll scroll across, and usually it's funny when you see the candidates for the same race popping up there back to back.
Any major changes from voting earlier in the year towards now that we're looking at? Anybody that has been else that's been removed from the ballot or?
No, it's. I mean, those are the major change. I mean, you know, would be you know Ricky Thompson being removed from his
right.
ballot, and then you know again, you know, up at Tishomingo County, their incumbent Glenn Whitlock, the incumbent sheriff, he actually came in second place in the primary, and then in the runoff, he ended up getting ousted. So you know, he's going to be gone. And again, Alcorn County and Chickasaw County, the incumbent sheriffs decided not to run again.
I saw somewhere the other day. It's somewhere in Mississippi. I can't think of where it was, but the person has died since.
Actually, that's a situation over in Itawamba County.
Oh, is it Itawamba?
A constable.
I thought it was somewhere down south.
No, there was a constable. The east side constable has died, and it's too late. I mean, his name's already on the ballot.
Yeah.
It's on the machine, so they're going to be accepting write-in votes for his race. So the election return from Itawamba County could take quite some time tomorrow night as they try to figure out, all right, you know, decipher handwriting to figure out who wrote for what.
Huh.
You know, and whether or not these you know write-ins will count or not.
I did not realize it was that close to home. I saw it was somewhere, but I thought it was somewhere down south and not up here. So shows how much I pay attention. All right, William, anything else we need to know ahead of tomorrow?
Polls are open 7 to 7.
Mm-hmm. We'll be here all night tomorrow night.
Possibly.
All right. Thanks for joining us, William.
All right.
Okay. Let's now welcome in Michaela Gibson Morris. Michaela, how are you doing?
I'm good. How about you, Brett?
I'm all right. Getting all geared up for tomorrow night. It's going to be fun.
Always fun. Always a good time.
Oh, yeah. Going to talk to you about some local races here. First, let's hit up the district attorney race. Of course, they're vying to replace Trent Kelly, who won the special election to serve in Congress after Alan Nunley died. So you got Arch Buller, the Democrat, against John Weddle, the Republican. Now, John Weddle has been the interim DA since Kelly left. So does that give him an advantage at all?
You figure it can't hurt.
Right.
It's kind of an interesting in that it's in some ways a rematch of the 2011 election between Trent Kelly and Johnny Young. Arch Bullard was an assistant for Johnny Young for 15 years. Very well-respected prosecutor, was the president of the State Prosecutors Association, was called upon to do a lot of teaching. You know, very well respected, but John is the person doing the job right now.
Right.
So, you figure it's going to be a down to the wire kind of race.
And also interesting, again, when Kelly won that election, Weddle was appointed by the governor to serve the remainder of this term, and he faced no opposition in the primary. So
he was only Republican.
Right. So Arch Bullard, the Democrat, he defeated Paul Galt, a current assistant DA. So he's been campaigning kind of from the get-go. Weddle, I don't know how hard when he started going hard at it, but I don't know if you believe in momentum.
I've seen them both out and about very, very steadily, but they've got 7 counties to cover.
Sure.
So it's a lot of territory.
Yeah.
A lot of territory.
It's going to be an interesting race. I mean, I think it's one of those races that'll be, like you said, probably close.
I would think so. And it may come down to who gets their supporters out.
Sure.
Because it's an important position.
No doubt. Shifting gears to the county, just the county, Lee County, a couple of supervisor races.
Yes.
Districts 3 and 5. District 3, you have Tony Roper, the former car dealer guy, and Ricky Coker, who's a Democrat.
Yep. You might remember this is the district that serves the kind of west central Lee County. It has a good chunk of the city of Tupelo in it, kind of the west and south sides, and then goes from Belden down to the new Highway 6.
Right.
This is the our district currently served by Darrell Rankin, who decided not to seek re-election. You may remember they had 7 people in this race at the end of qualifying.
Yeah, yeah, remember that.
At the beginning of March. And so now we're down to two. Tony Roper had to get through a field of six Republicans. Ricky Coker did not have any opposition in the Democratic primary. So it's...
So yeah, you kind of wonder how the vote's going to split now.
You know, it'll be interesting to see. They're both longtime Lee County residents. Actually, I think they're both Lee County natives.
Mm-hmm.
Deep roots in the community. Both have a deep desire to serve. And I would say, you know, they really haven't run against each other as much as for themselves.
Right.
I think so.
Yeah.
Good, clean race.
Okay. And then in District 5, interesting race with Billy Joe Holland and Joe McKinney. These guys have met before.
This is actually the third election where they have faced each other.
And so the series is tied at one apiece.
One apiece. Yes. So it'll
match.
So they are definitely no strangers to each other. District 5 covers kind of the southeast corner of the county, including
right.
Plantersville and Moorville, parts of Verona and Shannon, the Brewer community. So it's
right.
a good chunk of territory down there. They should both be well familiar with those guys. Billy Joe has been the supervisor the last 4 years. So
he's the current office owner. Before that,
yes,
McKinney.
And McKinney had 4 years. So we'll see. They both have a real legacy of community service in their families. And they're pretty serious about wanting to do the county's business and represent the 5th District.
I'm curious. You know, Billy Joe Holland, his brother is Steve Holland.
His brother is Steve
Holland. State representative. Mm-hmm. Is he as colorful a character as Steve?
He is a bit quieter than Steve, but it wouldn't take much to be quieter than Steve Holland.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would say he doesn't get up and preach quite the way Steve does.
I got you. And so, you know, people know the Holland family, but, you know, McKinney, his father and grandfather both served on the Lee County Board. So
they
obviously that's something that's been a thread through their family. So he's
yes.
very familiar with how all this works.
It is. And then also his business is building bridges.
Right.
So he is very familiar with the ins and outs of road construction and how you pay for it,
right.
and what it takes to maintain equipment. And so those kind of things, he would definitely bring certain advantages to
sure.
the table. And Billy Joe Holland served as the assistant road manager before he was elected. So he also has
yeah.
a great technical background. It's very fortunate for the people in the 5th District to have
yeah.
very experienced candidates, because I have to tell you, if you only vote for one office, voting for your county supervisor would be probably one of the most important offices you could
yeah.
pick out, because they really affect what happens
yeah.
on the roads and for utilities and so much economic development. They really hit home
yeah.
for whether you live in a municipality or not.
Yeah, all that everyday stuff that...
you know, your garbage isn't getting picked up. So, you know, if you're not in the city, it's the county picking it up.
Right.
You know, the roads you drive on, the economic development with the industrial parks, they really make a lot of important decisions through that board.
Yeah. So important election there. A lot of important races to be decided. And Michaela, appreciate you filling this in.
Happy to do it.
Okay, well, I think we've got everybody caught up now, Derek. You go vote, you know exactly what to do now.
I'm educated.
Me too. I'm one edumacated man.
Ooh, that's a good word.
What? Yeah.
So the important thing to take away from today is to get out and vote.
Yeah, go
because
vote.
You have no right to complain about anything unless you go vote.
I figure that out. I used to sometimes just not vote because all the candidates I had no use for them.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like any of them. But
mm-hmm.
then I'm like, well, I guess I can't complain, so I'll just go pick the one that seems least terrible and vote for that person.
I'm not sure that's an option on the ballot. Least terrible.
I'll try to figure out who is the least terrible. I just don't have a
high. You've got your own metrics.
I don't have a high opinion of politicians, regardless of party affiliation.
I see.
But I'll go vote, so then I can talk smack if I want to.
Oh, so you're buying the right to
pretty much
speak ill. Okay.
The thing is, though, I've gotten to where I don't publicly comment on politics at all anymore.
No, but you know, on Facebook and stuff. You know what you do publicly comment on?
Police reports.
Police reports.
It's Monday. It's police report day.
It's the only thing I look forward to on Mondays.
Same. Looking back at some highlights.
And Supergirl's on CBS tonight.
I need to check that out. I haven't. That's not until tonight now.
So this is now. This is what I look forward to in the morning.
Right. Some highlights from last week. You can find all the police reports at tipsheet.djournal.com. Okay. This is a good one right here, right off the bat. I'm ready. This is great. I'm
strapping myself in. Is it James? Don't tell me.
No, it's not James. Oh, it's not James.
I said don't tell me.
A man at a North Gloucester motel called 911 at 2:30 a.m. Okay, so obviously 2:30. He's calling from a motel. Something bad's going down.
North Gloucester. I'm thinking of what all could be. North Gloucester.
There's some motels.
I'm going to say Scottish Inn.
I could see that. So he makes the call to 911 requesting a policeman. Definitely some trouble going on. Requesting a policeman
apparently from a time traveler from the 1920s, but anyway.
Yeah. Requesting a policeman to bring milk for his cat. Let that one sink in.
What?
Yeah, he'd made a similar...
Please tell me there's more.
He'd made a similar call 4 hours earlier. The responding officer said the man was speaking in a bizarre manner and was unable to understand that needing milk for a cat was not an emergency. He was arrested, charged with abusing 911.
Depends on who you ask.
I guess it's probably an emergency for the cat.
I'm telling you, he's a time traveler. There's something weird about
him. I don't even give my cat milk. He just gets water. People actually give cats milk?
In the 1920s.
I guess so.
Warm milk is what I'm saying. Yeah.
I think people...
Delivered by police officers. Policeman.
I think like human beings used to drink warm milk too, which I don't know why, because that's just gross. I've had milk that's gotten warm. It's nasty.
What are you doing?
So cold milk. Oh, he's Instagramming.
Brad's beard.
Hashtag Brad's beard.
He's just circling us. Everybody smile.
There we go. We're smiling. We're posing. This is terrible radio. But that's okay.
I do. Well, if he's going to get up and take the picture of us while we're recording, I'm going to stop and make it awkward for him.
Yeah.
Okay, so time traveler wanted milk for his cat that he brought back with him from the past.
Or something like that.
I'm going with that.
Okay. Next one. Central Avenue woman said her husband has been threatening and harassing her. He calls her at work 20 times a day, calls her cell phone 30 times a day, so we're up to 50 phone calls.
We're up to 50 phone calls.
He sent her 14 messages on Facebook and has created multiple fake Facebook accounts in her name and is sending requests to her friends.
What?
I don't know. He's also threatened to kill her if he sees any man at her house.
Well, sir.
Does that include the mailman?
Sir, what about the milkman?
The milkman. Guy bringing milk for the cats.
What about the policeman with the milk? Sir, you need to calm down, sir.
That's what we call being a little bit obsessed. It says here it's her husband. I'm assuming it's going to be ex-husband
sir,
before too long.
Sir, you just need to leave her alone,
like,
sir.
Does he have time? Does he have a job? Who has time to make 50 phone calls?
Sir, just...
And send all those messages?
And 14 Facebook messages.
And creating fake accounts, sending... I guess she's... This guy is, like, pretending to be her and sending requests to her friends so he can make it like and then send them
yes please theorize messages. Further I'm enjoying this keep
maybe,
going
maybe send them terrible messages from these fake accounts so that all her friends will hate her.
We should start a Hardy Boys podcast where we talk about them on the memo and then we solve them on the other podcast.
We should do that. I love those books. I used to read the original Hardy Boys books from like the 30s or whatever. My dad had them as a kid.
He kept them, and so I read those. I'm enjoying this idea.
I also read they came back at some point in the 80s maybe and had a new updated Hardy Boys. They were cool and they cursed.
And they crossed over with Nancy Drew at some point.
I read a buttload of Nancy Drew as well. I read a lot of Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys.
Not sure that's a quantity, actually, but anyway.
It's a lot.
Anyway, Hashtag Hardy Boys.
And what I liked about the Hardy Boys, what I thought was funny was in those updated editions, the new stories back then, they wouldn't actually put curse words in the stories, but they'd be like, Joe cursed. Like, oh, he's really angry. And it would say that he cursed, but it wouldn't say what he said.
They were trying to be edgy,
but yeah, still maintain the audience.
I'm in for this. Let's go solve all these cases.
We should do that. You were going to say something.
I don't remember. You took it away completely. Mm.
My bad.
Give me another one.
A woman was driving.
You need to leave her alone. That's the end of that one.
Seriously.
There, we solved that case.
This is how serial got started, by the way.
If you're Facebook friends with this woman already and you get another request from her, maybe it's not really her. It's just a thought. Okay. Knocking stuff over. My phone's ringing. There we go. A woman was driving south on County Road 1409 when she hit a county-issued garbage can that was sitting in the road. The impact broke her side-view mirror. She said she had asked the homeowner. She has asked the homeowner to keep the can out of the road before. He allegedly said it was the county's responsibility to get it out of the road. I don't know the details of local ordinances regarding trash can placement, and I'm pretty sure the garbage man, all they have to do is just dump the trash into the truck and then put the can back approximately where it was. And I don't think they're supposed to, like, roll it back up the driveway for you. Pretty sure about that.
No. They're under no obligation.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure this guy is... I'm calling BS on him.
Yeah, sir, you just need to get your own trash can. Hey, we solved two cases.
He's lazy. Bam.
Fist bump.
Yes.
Hardy boys are hard at work in here at the memo room.
Frank would be proud. No, wait, was Frank the dad? No, Frank is Frank and Joe.
It's Frank and Joe.
Who's the dad? I can't remember his name.
Mr. Hardy.
He has a first name, and I forget it.
Mr. Hardy.
Is it Fenton Hardy? I'm going to have to Google it now. Because their dad was like some kind of... Was he a cop or something, I guess? Or a detective himself?
Did you mean Fenton Hardy?
Fenton.
Yes, Hardy. Fenton.
Okay, wow. I haven't read one of those books in like 25 years, so...
With their father, Detective Fenton Hardy. Nicely done.
Cool.
Good. Fourth case.
Bam.
Or third. I lost track.
Whatever.
We're doing so well.
We're on fire. Hot. Okay, finally... A man said his ex-girlfriend answered an... This one's kind of involved, so you have to be patient.
Sure.
A man said his ex-girlfriend answered an ad about an iPad for sale.
Sure.
So he put an ad in the paper wanting to sell an iPad.
Why? Okay.
His ex-girlfriend answered the ad. So he drove over with his current girlfriend, who's 8 months pregnant.
This just sounds... No.
Yeah. It's about to go south. Got out of the car with the device and approached the woman, the ex. Two men appeared from behind the house and confronted the new girlfriend while the old girlfriend punched her in the stomach. 8 months pregnant.
The baby?
No, she punched the pregnant 8 month pregnant woman in the stomach. So basically, yes, she punched the baby.
Where was the dude?
I don't know. It just said, let me keep going here.
The Hardy boys have failed this one.
The men grabbed the iPad and all three suspects drove away. The old girlfriend said she knew nothing about the alleged assault. When police questioned her later, she was arrested for 5 outstanding warrants anyway.
I think she probably knew something about it.
So I don't know what happened. It didn't say what the...
Where was he during all this?
He got out of the car. I don't know if the guys took him out first. It doesn't say, but... the old girl.
I mean,
the
I love Apple products like the next person, but that seems a little overkill.
It was they were basically he puts an ad in the paper, and she's like, "Oh, let me lure him here to get his girlfriend beat up."
I do a lot of things for an iPhone 6, but
I wouldn't punch a baby for it.
Maybe they just watched Steve Jobs.
It's like at the end of the Rocky when everybody ran home afterwards. Yeah. At the end of Steve Jobs, they're throwing bricks through Apple stores. Punching pregnant women. I mean, my God, that's terrible.
Punched her in the stomach. 8 months
pregnant. It's bad enough. Abuse of a woman's bad enough, but abuse of a... Are we on the front page of the Daily Journal?
What?
Did you see me on there?
Well, you totally did a 180 on me. Yeah, we're on the... it's been up there for like 2 weeks at least.
Oh.
DJournal.com. There we are, right at the top, to the right. Promoting this podcast. It's kind of a rotating ad right now.
Mine says assessment for dyslexia.
Well, so. It depends. You refresh it or just be patient. It'll come up. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But you did see that. Okay. In fact, here it is on the election page.
That's terrifying.
The election page, by the way.
Go to the election page and you can find out about the Hardy Boys.
Maybe not. DJournal.com/2015election, I believe, is the URL. That's got all of our coverage leading up to tomorrow's election. So we got you covered on that. And we'll have Chris going to have a Hangout, Google Hangout tomorrow night as the results come in.
That's right. Yeah, we'll start about 7:30 probably. It'll be myself and you, Brad, and Bobby Harrison will be in on it. We'll be bringing in different guests from the newsroom, probably William and Michaela again.
Yeah, and we'll have it streaming live on djournal.com, the main page. So, and we'll have live results getting updated there as well. So that's kind of your one-stop shop for election night is a djournal.com. So. Yeah. Gonna be fun.
Yeah, the results will be there, and then we'll be kind of going through those results and bringing some analysis, and we'll just go until we got everything in, probably 9, 10, something like that.
Okay, good deal. All right, and let's not forget about the other podcast we have, Double Coverage, every Thursday. And speaking of Thursday, that's when Mississippi State plays. They got the special Thursday night game against Missouri this weekend, and then Ole Miss, I believe, hosting Arkansas on Saturday. So both teams trying to keep their momentum going. Ole Miss won this past weekend against Auburn. State was idle, did not play. So they'll get back into it Thursday. And again, you can catch Double Coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry on your iTunes or your any podcast app if you have an Android. Also at doublecoverage.djournal.com. And you can watch beforehand if you want. They'll have a video of the podcast, basically a Google Hangout, and be on the website. So. Be sure to catch that. Also, be sure to check out Thrive Marketing. It is a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email and text messaging services for local businesses, thrive.ms.
Hardy boys, nailed it. Good job.
First try. One take.
How about that bridal journal?
How about it? There you go.
Let me tell you all about that. Because I say it every time. You think I know it by now. But it is Sunday, November 15th at the Kingfisher Lodge in Verona, the Bridal Journal Expo, 2 to 5 p.m. You should register today. Bridaljournal.ms/expo. Admission at the door is $20. You can go ahead and pre-order your tickets now. $15 online. And for the VIP bride, $30. That's the very important bride.
Very important person bride.
I was going to say, I think all brides are very important people in that scenario. But consultations, mini seminars, booths set up for different places, local vendors, hair, makeup, flowers, florists.
Mm.
Florist Henderson.
What? Florence Henderson? I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you. Lots of local vendors. Hoping to help you make your wedding painless. Check that out, bridaljournal.ms/expo. That is November 15th, so it's coming up soon.
Cool. It's a good show, man.
Cool.
Well, I mean, I'm a guy that's already married. I don't have no use for this.
When we come back on Wednesday, we may be in a whole new world.
It could be.
Of elections. Initiative 42. Underdogs.
Maybe Robert Gray will be the new governor elect.
Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night at djournal.com. Follow along with @djournal now on the Twitter for the latest up to the minute updates on who is winning what district and county and circuit and everything.
Statewide, everything.
Everything. Everything.
And we'll. We'll be up here all night if we have to, and we'll have pizza for us, not for you, listeners. Sorry.
Stay away.
It's our pizza.
Pizza's ours.
Nah.
Latest coverage will be, of course, as Chris said earlier, djournal.com/2015 election. And you can find us online, memo.djournal.com and @djournal on the memo. We'll be back again on Wednesday, but again, check us out tomorrow night, Google Hangout, 2015 elections coming out of the area. @djournal.com. And we'll see you guys again on Wednesday.
Later.